Fatherhood for the Rest of Us with Brandon Handley. Because you're already great at everything else, why not fatherhood too?
Hey there, and welcome to Fatherhood for the Rest of Us. This is Brandon Handley. I am the creator and founder of Fatherhood for the Rest of Us. I want to say thank you for choosing to spend your time with me today on Fatherhood for the Rest of Us. I also want to just encourage you, if you could, to go over to the podcast on iTunes, download it, subscribe to it, and leave a review if you have found any part of this at all to have an impact on your life. That will help others to find the show and listen to it and get the same type of enjoyment that you are out of it. Also, if you are a father and if you're looking for a place that you can go celebrate fatherhood or perhaps even share some struggles and get some advice or find some like-minded men, I strongly encourage you to come on over to Fatherhood for the Rest of Us, the private Facebook group, and ask to join. I'll let you right in. That's going to do it for right now, guys. And please stay tuned for today's podcast. Hey there, guys. Rock, Luge, Brandon, Hanley, Fatherhood for the Rest of Us here hanging out on a... Is this Thursday? I don't even know what day of the week it is, Brock.
It's okay. It's blurred to me, too.
I think I'm lucky I find my way up to the microphone. You know, what is something that you're looking to celebrate today? What can we help you celebrate today, Brock?
I'd say today I made it through without losing my my cool with
the whole day.
The whole day.
That's amazing.
That's a pretty big I'd say it's a pretty big mountain for me right now.
Absolutely. And you know, especially since like you're a stay-at-home dad and how old are your kids right now?
My kids are 2.5 and 5.
2.5 and 5. So making it through an entire day without losing your shit is pretty cool.
Yeah, so just to give you an idea of what it was like, my youngest, she actually like went for like an hour just straight crying because she wouldn't pick up some Legos that she threw. And I was just trying to like get her to realize like, you don't need to be like throwing Legos around the place. And she would not budge on just listening and obeying a simple command. And so I held to it and stayed calm the entire time. And eventually she came around, but it was an hour long battle.
It can't be that much fun. And I know that, especially again at that age, at that age, it just makes you lose your mind, man. Makes you lose your mind. So you got to do your best to, just try and keep your cool and go after. So again, huge celebration. I think so. Absolutely. Let's hit up, you know, who is Brock and what's he about? Well, guys, Brock is a full-time stay-at-home dad. He's also the lead organizer of the Cincinnati Dads Group, which is a national organization. His passion is to connect dads in the city together for support and camaraderie, while at the same time showing that the stay-at-home dad is a powerful position to hold in the family. Now, Brock, you know, you and I, we met prior to going down to Dad 2.0 in New Orleans a little bit earlier this year in February. We got the time to chat with each other, and you know, you left a decent gig, a decent job to stay at home with the kids, and you had a great conversation with your wife before that even kind of spun up. Do you want to talk to the audience a little bit about that, like how that came to be?
Yeah, so my wife and I were both working for Fidelity Investments. I was working in a position where I was taking calls with people who had questions about their 401ks. And it was paying, even that job, for being an entry-level job there, it was paying really well. Mm-hmm. My wife came in about a year later to work in there, and she came into a position that was making quite a bit more than what I was making. And we made it work for the first year. Mm-hmm. And then some situations with childcare came into play where my son's childcare daycare was going to be closing. And so we had this opportunity to actually, like get into a spot where, I was trying to get myself situated. that's better. So basically get into a place where, it was like, okay, do we want to go look for a different place, childcare? And on top of that too, like my entire check was going to cover that childcare for my kids? Or do we want to look into the venture of what I had actually stated back when her and I were dating, which was my end goal was to actually be a stay-at-home parent. And which is a very odd thing to say for a guy, be like, yeah, I want to be a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, I mean, so what drove you saying that you wanted to be a stay-at-home dad?
I just really enjoy interacting with the kids. So I have a background in youth ministry.
Okay.
I've always kind of been sort of like an education type role. And I had the opportunity to just kind of see what a stay-at-home parent is like. Like, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for us. And just having a parent home with the kids, it was just, for me, it felt very beneficial. And my wife basically was like, I would never be a stay-at-home mom. that's not her thing. And she was like, if I have to watch Sesame Street over and over again, I'll go nuts. And so I actually enjoy watching Sesame Street.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that whole thing. But on top of it too, I mean, as far as even the stay-at-home dad role, you're taking care of like the house and maintaining things. And my wife would be the first one to tell you that I do that a heck of a lot better than she could. And she's really good at finances and keeping track of running that side of things. And we have just a really good communication on, even when we do talk about like, hey, we got to buy this, or hey, like bills are going crazy, that there's a communication there. And the nice part is it's always centered around our money.
Right on, right on. Very cool. Rock me one second. I got to shut down a laptop on the other here side that's making all kinds of noise.
Okay. The wonders of live.
So very cool. You decide to, you know, you decide to do it. You take the plunge. And how long has it been now?
Actually, Saturday will be 1 year that I left the workforce. So yeah.
Wow. Wow. And let's talk a little bit about what City Dads Group is, because not everybody, I didn't become familiar with it really until I went to like Dad 2.0. So even kind of being in the dad space myself, mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah. So, well, let me even back up just a little bit further before I even got involved with them, because it all really started with the fact that when I decided to be a stay-at-home dad, I wanted to be able to have other dads that I could connect with. So I actually started up a private group on Facebook with just my friends who were dads. And then also just like, hey, if you know another dad in the city that's looking to connect, like, here's an opportunity. And so I was running this private group for a while. And then through the National At Home Dads Network, I got connected with a few city dad organizers. And
okay.
we got to talking, and they were like, hey, you know, like, you're running this thing. Would you be interested in talking to the co-founders of the City Dads Group? Lance Sommerfeld and Matt Schneider. And I was like, sure, that would be awesome. I'd love to hear what, you know, if there's any possible way on this. And so over a few months of conversation, it really felt like it was sort of like the thing that was going to really help kind of launch what I felt was like this passion to network the dads in the Cincinnati area and give them a platform to be able to hang out.
Right.
So after those conversations took place in October, we launched the City Dads Group for Cincinnati, and they run off of two different platforms. So there's, for me, there's the Facebook private group that I run.
Right.
It's really not connected with City Dads, but it has the same name. And then there's the meetup page. And every City Dads group throughout the United States, there are 34 of them, they all run through meetup.com. So you can like basically look on meetup.com and you can find if there's one near you, along with also going to citydadsgroup.com and looking in the locations.
What can I expect if I were to go look up City Dads and as a dad, I'm like, yo, what should I be getting into?
So if you're looking up the citydadsgroup.com, you're going to be looking at all different cities that are available to you. You're going to find different ways to connect with them. And then also too, you're going to find there's a blog that has different contributors from all the different cities that are going to give you some amazing resources for different things. So like, if you're a new parent and you're like, I really don't know which car seat to buy, like, I don't understand like what's so important about a stroller, like, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
There's going to be information about those things. Or, you know, if it's like I just want to figure out a way to connect with other dads. You'll see that there's things like, oh, we have like a dad's night out once a month, and it gives you an opportunity to get out of the house and just connect with other dads and go bowling or play ping pong. Or we had guys that went to like an axe throwing thing, which was really cool down in Charlotte. Or that one's really fun is we've seen where guys go like curling up in like Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's awesome. Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. It's really this idea of like, here's an opportunity to just like connect with other dads. And it's like, oh, I've had this idea. I've always wanted to do this like event.
Right.
Here's a platform to just say, hey, like anybody want to go do this with me? And you find out there's other guys that are just as key to it as, you know, you are.
Very cool. Now, we got Jeff Tepper stepping in saying, hey, what's up, Jeff? prior to joining like this, City Dads group and being a dad yourself, did you have like a good, space for like male camaraderie?
Yeah. I feel very blessed to be involved with a very small, church me and a few guys have actually grown up the men's leadership actually there. We don't even call it like a men's ministry because, I don't know, there's just this weird persona with that. So it's just a men's leadership of just trying to bring men in and talk to them. And that's where a lot of my grouping came from, because I was like, all right, I started small groups in that, which brought other guys, gave them a chance to just have that opportunity to get together and talk. And then also too, like we would just, aside from the normal, like, hey, let's get together and like study and pray, but like, hey, let's go out to a brewery and have a beer and have some pizza and just talk about life as well. Outside of just, you know, sitting down and throwing a Bible down and talking, that kind of thing. So there were kind of two sides to it. And that's what really kind of started for me, because I didn't have that, prior to the, starting all that.
What would you say the power of kind of having, other men that you can, not simply shoot the shit with, but like, kind of take it to like a support zone, which makes me think of a jock strap. So that's not what I'm thinking of at all, but like, like where you guys can go and support each other, encourage each other to like grow, do better, or like, maybe have one or two bitch sessions, but just being able to go to a space where guys, say, hey man, I've been there. I know what you're going through, and that type of thing. Let's talk. What's that feel like? The power of that.
So it's nice to be able to have those guys to be able to do that, because there are a lot of guys that don't. And so when you're in one of those situations, like for me, I give you like a really good instance for me. So with being a stay-at-home dad and starting that out, of course, you got a lot of stress, trying to figure it all out. My wife was really good about, she'd be like, you're stressed out, you need to get out of the house. Mm. And because I could just not only get out of the house, I could connect with some of the guys that I was running around with who were dads and just be like, hey, like I've had a really stressful day. Is it cool if I like come up and hang out? And they're like, yeah, come up, man. Like I'm actually cutting down a tree, like you can help me. let's crack a cold one and sit around the fire pit and just talk for a little while and get it off your chest. So, having those kind of, having that community is just key. And it's what's kind of basically, it's what keeps me sane.
Sure. Absolutely. And I think that also like in a male environment, does it give you like the opportunity to have conversations that you couldn't have if there were females present?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you definitely get the opportunity instead of just kind of like, I'm dealing with this, like you bring it out there and you can feel comfortable, just with another guy who probably either understands or can at least, commiserate with you in some way of like figuring out like, oh yeah, like, yeah, definitely. Or I know somebody that's been through that kind of situation. So, it's one of those deals where you definitely get the ability to just put it out there and be vulnerable. And that's the one thing too, like a lot of guys are like, I don't want to be vulnerable around another guy. Like they're going to think I'm weak or whatever, or something along those lines. And there's always been that kind of thing. But you get around enough guys who actually understand what you're going through, and they actually have a feeling for you as not only a friend, but as somebody like I consider like especially a brother, almost on that sense. It just makes the conversation that much more fluid and that much more comfortable to have.
Right. And it's like, you're not in a space that you're vulnerable to like fall prey to something, but vulnerable in a sense that, you can gain strength from something. Does that sound about right?
Definitely. I mean, so I think for me, like even just over the past few years, as far as like growing in that area of feeling strength and being able to actually share what's going on in my life and not feel the shame, like fall on it as well. Is the fact that like the lead minister at our church, he's very open about the things that he went through in his life and how it changed him. And he was a high profile PNG exec and left it all to become a minister. But his story like is even deeper than that. So the way he shares it and what I've known about it, it's helped me to realize like we're all just human beings struggling through this world. And there are certain things that can help us out. For me, it's Jesus and just that camaraderie with other guys who are also in that area. But I also can connect very easily with guys who have absolutely zero connection with Jesus, but are just looking for other men to connect with and have a just dude relationship, you know, like quote unquote romance. I guess.
The romance.
Right.
The romance is real, brother. I wanted to talk a little bit too about like, you know, since I've gotten to know you, and then also we talked about this a little bit earlier, got to know you, know your story, actually saw you in the airport. We actually rode into City Dads together, walked around and chatted, but like there was this exponential rock confidence that kind of shone through. And to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, and this is just what I felt like I witnessed, was like, you know, you were there. This probably, I felt it's just the first time you met up with Matt and Lance in person. Was that the first time?
It was the first time I met up with Lance. Matt I'd met here in Cincinnati in Thanksgiving.
Okay. But you'd met up with this group of, you know, men, in a similar field doing a lot of the same work in the Dad's Network, and they were just encouraging you to kind of step into what you felt like was the right thing to do. And they're giving you like all this encouragement and support. And I could just like see you growing into it, right? Like stepping into who you felt like you really were and in a 100% like authentic manner. Can you want to talk about what it's like to be supported without like just like judgment or expectation? That's how I felt like, you know, that's what I felt like I witnessed.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely surreal because growing up as a kid, like I was very timid in some areas when it came to like, oh, like I want to connect with different people, but it was always there. And so walking in and like immediately feeling welcomed, almost like it was this family that I'd always been a part of, and just, you know, we just live far enough away that, hey, this is like the big family reunion kind of thing. You just pick up where you left off. It was very much like that. I mean, you just walked in, everybody's like, hey, what's up? And I think the fact that I'm very vocal and very out there as far as like social media and talking with different people.
Sure.
They knew where I was coming from, and a lot of them had shared with me before. And so it was just that conversation had already started. But to me, like you were saying, like you saw me just kind of like take off. It was this thing of like, wow, like I can actually really do this, and it can really become something even maybe much bigger than what I have visioned for it to be. And that's and that's really exciting to me. And there's all these different opportunities and things, and I've kind of like have to weigh every single one of them on what I'm wanting to do. But it's exciting that it's all like options.
Yeah, no, awesome. And I mean, I think another one of the stories that you shared with me was you had some ideas that you wanted to do with the City Dads group, and then you approached them, you gave them the idea, and then you're like, yeah, but I don't know about like, you know, financing. I don't know how I'm going to make this thing happen. And they're like, hey, don't worry about it. We're supporting you and that. And to me, when you that reaction, did that give you like that much more encouragement? Like, I mean, you were to me, you, when you relayed the story to me, it felt like you were floored. You were like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to come into an organization and like, be like, hey, you know, this is something that I want to do, but I don't know how like I'm going to financially be able to be part of it. You know, to be able to have that, like, hey, like we got you covered, man. If you want to be a part of this, like, you know, we're here to help you. And I think that that's like, just huge and getting things rolling. for me to be able to feel like, all right, like if I have big ideas, like I don't have to feel scared of like, even if I get shot down on it, right, at least I got the opportunity to like, to show it. And mm-hmm. on top of that too, like, I feel like, you know, if I come to them and I say, hey, like, this is what I want to do, and they say, we're not quite sure we want to have you go that route, or, the no is definitely hard to hear, but at the same time, it comes from a place that it's like, all right, like they're not like just trying to like keep me down. There's just something else that I need to figure out with it. And so that's really exciting to me to know that I can still continue to like build up what I'm trying to do here.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So what is next for the Cincy City Dads? What do we got lined up?
So that's really exciting. There's definitely right now we've got like dad night outs happening consistently once a month and sometimes even twice a month. So that's really cool because I'm getting to meet with anywhere from like 4 to 6 dads every 2 weeks. And that's been awesome.
Wow.
And then we do, with being a stay-at-home dad, like I usually try to run like something for the dads that are also at home to get together on a pretty regular basis. One of the dads actually got involved with Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to actually be a part of working at a house in May. And so there's, I think, about almost 10 of us that are going to go to this house and work on it. So that's going to be really cool because for us, like, that's a way to just show, like, hey, like, we're a real group in the city mm-hmm. trying yeah. to do more than just a bunch of dads that's trying to meet together. We're actually trying to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I really want to procure in Cincinnati is that, you know, as much as we are just dads trying to like be dads with kids, like we also want to be like giving back. And so many of us, me included, have a heart for volunteering and doing that, that it's going to be awesome to have the, you know, just the ability to kind of move in those areas. Cause you can do it on an individual basis too. I mean, it's fine. But I think when you can bring large groups into it and really kind of get something out there that there's this movement, that's the most exciting thing. And, you know, with the movement, that's the cool part because you go places like I can go different places and they'll either see the shirt like at the zoo or something. And all people come up like, oh, like, are you that guy that's running the Cincinnati Dads group? Or, hey, how did you get that shirt? Or what is that? And it just like all these different conversations come out about it, which is really cool. And I've even had friends who are like on the other side of the city. They'll be like talking to me like, hey, like I've heard about this dad's group. And they're like, oh yeah, like I know the organizer. Like he's really cool. Like, you should have your husbands get in contact with him. So right. That's kind of just helped the group grow as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's awesome that you're, being such a part of a movement like that. And I think that it's exciting. I had another question for you. Let's talk a little bit too about like what it's like to be a stay-at-home dad and prior to you starting up the groups and getting active and trying to go out and hang out at the parks or something like that. Is it difficult? Do you get like weird looks?
You know, that's a really good question that I actually have the where a lot of dads, that's really difficult in a lot of cities. I feel like Cincinnati is very progressive and very open to it. I've never had a instance where a mom has given me some weird side look.
No side eye?
Yeah. And like grabbed their kid and was like, we're out of here. Like,
I take kids.
Yeah. I've never had that. Like, I've always been able to have a conversation with whoever I'm around, which has been really awesome. And even the older people too, like they're like, oh, that's really cool. And I think I've only had like 2 times where actually on social media, somebody was like, I don't understand why it is that you're not at work and your wife's not able to stay home with the kid. And like, it was just like, it's a family like choice here. It's, you know, and so it's just closed mindedness, but you just kind of say part of it and be like, hey, I'm sorry, you don't understand it. You know, this is our family dynamic and it works for us. And sorry that that's, you know, you don't understand it, but it has nothing to do with your view. So you just kind of move on from there, but those are really rare. But yeah, I mean, going to different places, I've actually, I get more positive, interaction. People are like, oh, that's really cool that you get to do that. You know, that's really awesome that your wife gets to follow what she wants to do for her career. And you're getting to do something that you find as being fulfilling as well.
Right. Right. Now that is cool. And I think you use a kind of a key word there is fulfillment. What would you say, Brock, is fulfillment?
So fulfillment for me is enjoying each day in its own way. So even in the frustrations of it all, like at the end of the day going, yeah, like there were these things that took place that if I was in a workplace, I wouldn't be able to be a part of. I wouldn't get to see these things, you know. And there are so many of them that happen. And that's why, like, on my Instagram account, I'm usually, like, snapping pictures of those situations. One, for my wife to be able to see them, but just also, too, for, like, people to see, like, hey, you know, this is the reason that I'm doing this.
Right on, right on. What do you plan to do, like, once the kids are ready for school?
So the school that we're going to actually be sending the kids off to in the fall, because my son will start kindergarten, and there's the school that we're going to send him to actually has a preschool, so they'll both go out there, and it's 3 days a week because it's a homeschool co-op.
Okay.
So it'll be a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I can actually go out there and be a teacher's aide.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that, and then that still has that flexibility for the things that we want to do in our family. But also, too, it gives the ability for us to, you know, either venture more into homeschooling as we go through it or, you know, just kind of also for me to be able to do the ventures that I'm wanting to do, like, you know, helping continue on with the City Dads group, also being able to, you know, run my podcast that I'm wanting to launch here pretty soon. And this, you know, do these other little extra things that will just be ways to continue on in like promoting fatherhood in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm.
What are the things making you crazy with the kids right now? Like, I'm going to give you an example because mine, like, I was like, you know what, man? Yeah, I'm real good with the patients, or at least I'm, you know, I improve or I'm just aware of sometimes that I'm impatient. But, like, there are still some things that and I know that they'll go away, but that they're doing now that make me just getting batshit, dude. Like, I mean, even just, like, my kids saying butt all the time. Or the one that, like, you know, sometimes he's just chewing with his mouth open just makes me nuts, right? And it's just like, you're like, dude, stop. And you get sick of hearing yourself say it. You're like, I just don't even care. But what is something that's like you can't wait till they're done? You're going to miss it, but you can't wait till it's over.
I can't wait until my kids stop saying that everything that we're like, hey, this is what we're having for dinner. I don't want to eat that. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, like, you talk about, like, the ultimate battle ever. It's, like, it's horrible.
Right.
It's like Ragnarok, man. I mean, it's Ragnarok. Awful. And it's insane. That's probably the biggest one. And the worst part is, too, is that if my oldest says it first, then my youngest follows suit. And it's just like, dang it. Like, if I could just get him to, like, be like, yeah, this is really going to be awesome. This is going to be delicious. Like, then my daughter would be like, oh, yeah, let's eat it up, you know.
Right.
But it doesn't tend to happen. So, yeah, that whole copycat thing is going to be probably down the line still, and it's just a day-to-day battle. And then for my daughter, really, she's got this complex, like, I think it's just this little girl thing of, like, if I cry, like, enough, they'll bend the knee, like, you know, and it's so annoying. You're just like, no, I'm not going to. Like, I will go stone cold. Like, I know that you have the most beautiful blue eyes and you can bat those things all day long at me. But, like, she's very strong-willed, I'm finding out. And so I just, like, basically just go completely cold heart. I'm like, you're going to do this. Like, for instance, like I said today, like, she cried for an hour. Wow. Because she wouldn't pick up, like, six Legos that she threw up against the wall. Right. And it was just like, I'm going to make a point of this. Like,
right.
I'm going to win. It's just going to take some time. And I just have to stay cool with it and not, like, lose my crap.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. Those are the things, right? Like, they'll be gone one day. They'll you know, everybody will grow out of it and be in a different place. And you'll look back and be like, man, sometimes I almost miss it. But, you know, I'm also glad that that's over. So,
yeah.
What would you say, like, your relationship with your father was like?
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fatherhood for the Rest of Us. I hope that you've enjoyed what you've heard so far as we have an engaging deep dive into what fatherhood means to us, what it means to have the fatherhood experience. And I'd also like to let you know that I currently have a couple of coaching slots available. If you are looking to make some impactful lifelong changes in your own life, creating a better life today instead of waiting, and you're ready to take on some new challenges, form a new set of beliefs, let go of some of your limiting beliefs, take care of the gap, get rid of what's missing, work on what's been working for you, then let's have that conversation. You reach out to me at brandon@fatherhoodfortherestofus.com. You can reach out to me at Brandon G. Hanley on Facebook. And if you just want to go schedule time, you can do that over at fatherhoodfortherestofus.com/coaching. Looking forward to having that conversation with you.
It was actually pretty decent. I mean, it wasn't all like hugs and all that. I mean, it wasn't like emotional type of thing, but my dad was there for me in the fashion of like, he coached my t-ball team. He coached my soccer teams. When I was, he would take us on trips with our friends. So, I mean, he was always around, and like, I kind of seen him as like a friend, but at the same time, like, knew he was an authority figure. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely, I never like wanted to just like cut and go. It wasn't anything like that. And I don't know that we ever really had like it out in any kind of way. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was interesting is like, he was just, like, there was a support, but also like a passive aggressiveness sometimes and some things, and it's still there.
Right.
Like, I love my parents to death, but there's definitely like this passive aggressiveness that takes place sometimes when you're like talking to them about different areas, and you can, and I can pick it out real easily. And I'm just like, all right, like, I'm just going to deal with this. Like, I love them. This is just something that I think as a adult child, you deal with your parents, that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's this different sides to that, but in all, like, it was it's been a great, great relationship. And we still like talk to this day, usually anywhere from at least maybe once a week to once every 2 weeks, we'll call. He's a truck driver, so I can get him real easy on the phone when he's in the truck.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah. And so he's just always been there and really good to talk to. There are certain things that emotionally, like, we don't get into, like, with things, but even if I needed to talk to him, I know that I can, which sure. I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It's always been, I can't say anything negative about it really compared to like some of my,
cool.
especially as it compared to like other people I've heard where it's like, there's some really rough stories. It's like, no, I can't sure. even imagine.
What are some like, has he been kind of helpful? Like, what's the situation been like, having him to go to as you become a father?
So there's definitely this interesting portion where like, you're like, oh, like they're dealing with that. And there's like, yeah, I remember when you were like that. And you're like, thanks. But I mean, I think every parent just waits for that moment. Like, yeah, I've been waiting to see that come out in your kid. Like,
yeah.
But at the same time too, I mean, when I'm in one of those situations, like, I can't believe like Hezekiah is doing this, like it's driving me nuts, or Ruby is just like doing these things. And my dad would just be like, yeah, man, like it's normal kid stuff. Like you did it. Your brother did it. Your sister did it. Like, you know, you'll grow out of it. It's fine. You just got to like let it go and keep moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nice to, you know, you kind of get that affirmation that, you're not shitty at what you're doing. It's normal.
Yeah.
Coming from somebody that, you know, love and trust.
Yeah. And I mean, even as far as too, like, I was curious when we went to them and said, hey, like, you know, my wife, and I was like, Corey's going to stay at Fidelity and continue working. I'm actually going to leave Fidelity and stay home with the kids. And mm-hmm. they were very much like, hey, like, you know, if this is what you're doing, like, you obviously have taken the time to think about it, and we, you know, we support you in it. And, you know, my mom, like, she was funny. She was like, you're going to be great at this. Like, you really are. And then she's seen me in different areas, like working with the kids. And she's like, you know, she's like, this is something that your dad would never be able to do in this kind of way. Like, you cannot be a stay-at-home dad type person. And so, like, it just fits your motif and just your character.
That's cool, though, man. It's great to have that support from your family, and you know, because it could have gone a different way, right?
And that's
cool because it's not traditional. And the kind of the beauty of it is, it's not necessarily bucking a trend. It's just doing what you believe in doing, and not kind of being ostracized or judged about it. And it's great to kind of be in that kind of place in the world right now. So, awesome, Brock. What would you, I know we talk about the importance of fatherhood, but what would you say that fatherhood definitely means to you?
So I think fatherhood to me is a component of leadership and just like realizing that you're growing these little human beings to become adults. And so I think for fatherhood, it's just one of those components that you got to be so on top of your game and not like be behind what's going on. Because if you're trying to like run up to the kids, like then I feel like you like lose out on certain areas. And so for me, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if you don't understand what it is that you need to do as a dad, don't just try to scrape and claw in a way that's going to like hurt your kids, mm-hmm. but like try to find a way to be positive with them. So mm-hmm. yeah, they're going to be frustrated. They're going to piss you off. There's going to be things that you feel that they should do that they're not going to do. But I find that when you just like take a moment to breathe and see like, they're just being a kid, mm-hmm. that right there is like, I think that's one of the hardest things especially for men to do, because we like to control everything.
Sure.
Just like letting it just like flow. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. No, right on. Another thing you kind of hit on too was talking about your father not being an emotional person. How is it that you feel like, you know, you've grown to assess your own toolbox of emotions, and like, how are you teaching, you know, how do you feel? I mean, your children are kind of coming to the point where they're expressing their emotions, but they're not really under control of them 100%. And they're not really able to convey them to you 100%, right? Verbalize it, articulate it. How do you feel like you're going to be teaching them?
Yeah. So my 5-year-old actually is really good about articulating his feelings. And so when he's in situations, he'd be like, I'm really mad about this situation. And instead of me being like, okay, whatever, like, I don't know what you're going to do about that. We start talking about like, hey, you know, like, why are you mad? Like, what is it that happened that made you mad? That kind mm-hmm. of thing. And we can have a discussion about that. Or I'm really sad about this, you know, and talk about that. He's gotten to the place where he'll watch certain things, and if they talk about emotions, he tries to like then act them out. Mm-hmm. And that's its own kind of thing, because you're like, I know this is not like a real true emotion. Like, you're just like playing this like character.
Sure.
And I have to be very cautious about it, but at the same time, like, I'll call him out on it. Mm-hmm. And that is its own, you know, that's its own pile of information, interesting things that go on in that situation. So, I mean, just talking through with them, I don't know. I had my own traumatic thing that happened back when I was younger, and I really don't remember ever really talking to my dad about it too much. I had a friend in high school who was killed in a car accident. Mm. He was my best friend. And yeah. I think I spent more time talking to my mom about that than I ever did my dad. And it's nothing against my dad or anything. It's just, I don't know, like, it was just one of those things, like, he wasn't the guy I went to. I always went to talk to my mom about it. I don't want that to be the case. Like, I want my son to feel like he can come and talk to me. Not that I didn't ever feel like I could come talk to my dad, but that wasn't who I went to.
But I just want to be able to be approachable and keep that line of communication open.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. It sounds like you're doing a great job of, you know, did you do anything specifically that helped him with articulating his feelings yourself that you can share?
I think just giving him the ability to try to like sift out what's going on. Cause I mean, like, you're not always going to get the exact like why from mm-hmm. a little kid.
Yeah.
But giving them just the ability to say like, hey, this is why I matter. This is why I'm sad. And I don't know. I really don't know anything outside of that. It's very new to me. I think that right now, like I'm literally like, if I'm in the batter's box, like baseball wise, like I've just literally like took like maybe 1 to 2 steps towards first base. Like
sure.
It's so nuanced to me.
Sure. No, man, but it sounds like you're in a good space. At least to me, as far as that's all concerned. What, you know, I know faith is big for you. Has it always been big for you, or is it something that you come across later in life? And what's its role in your family?
So faith has always been a part of my family. I grew up Catholic. And then over time, like I moved into like a non-denominational. And I would say that within the past probably 15 years, it's really grown into something so much more than what like it was when I was just like going to church with my family at Catholic church. It's one of those things where it's like, when it comes down to trying to figure out like what kind of decisions we want to make or like, you know, how, I don't know, just keeping an open mind to what's all going on in the world. It's the thing that really like grounds me as right. far as like not like losing it when you see some of the craziness going on here in the world.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. Are you, you know, an avid reader? Do you read, quite a few books?
I try to. I'm a really slow reader.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
but I do read. Right now I'm actually reading this book here.
Fatherhood's Leadership. Yeah.
So, I started reading that actually, right when I left to go down to New Orleans and, cause I had time on the plane to really get into it.
Sure.
And I've really enjoyed it, getting to hear Devin's side of how he became like a father and what all the things he learned using some of this stuff from social work to kind of mold his fatherhood journey.
Yeah.
So I just, that's one of the ones that I'm really getting into right now. And then other than that, like I've started reading through the Bible at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. I'm about a month behind, but I still read in it every single day. It's just,
how can you get behind in reading the Bible, Rock?
Well, there's like a daily portion where it'd be like start, like you'd be like at a certain point. Like I just have had like so many times where I'm like, I didn't get up early enough to actually read this, and there's so much already going on for the day.
But yeah, sure. I don't think you're behind. Is there any particular book that has like blown your mind that you can recall?
I would say the book that really shaped me being a dad of a boy would be Wild at Heart by John Eldridge.
Okay.
In it, he just talks about just his experience growing up as a boy, and then how he basically how he wanted to be a father to his two kids and the things that he wanted them to understand, and just also to like, hey, like they're boys, like we're men. We get out and do like crazy things, and just giving a boy a chance to just be wild and crazy and not worry about it. Because one of the things he states is that, you know, there's a point where like when they're younger, they're with mom, mm-hmm. like mom is always with them and everything. And then there's a point where like they break away, like mom just can't be wild enough with them. And so like, that's where dad gets them. And it's true and it's not true. I mean, it just depends on the mom too and what they want to do. But, you know, I let my wife read that section and she got a little teary eyed because she's like, yeah, she's like, there's going to be a point where he's going to be like, all right, like mom's cool to be around, but like, I want to be around dad. Like,
that sure. Kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Do you, and that's a great suggestion too. I have to read it still. I think that's one that I should put on my list. Is there anything like in particular about fatherhood that you wish you would have known that you know now?
I don't know. I feel like I'm learning stuff every single day. Mm-hmm. I had so many like good examples of fatherhood in my life from everybody from like my dad to my grandparents, just like my grandfathers, like watching them. And then also finding things out about how like they raised, you know, my aunts and uncles and stuff like that. I don't know. I think for me, like, I don't know if there's one thing that I wish I knew, but it's more along the lines of like, how much more do I have to learn?
I don't think it's going to stop, brother. I don't think it's going to stop. It's like, and as soon as I feel like as soon as you learn something about your own children, they like, they shift. They're like, just kidding.
Yeah.
And then you got to learn like all this other shit.
Well, and then too, like there's things like you see certain things that like they do that, I don't know, this sort of like, I had like, for instance today, like I felt like I had this like flash forward of like 20 years into the future with my daughter, because she was coming down the stairs and she gave me this look that was like a look that I have only seen with a bride coming down the aisle and looking at her dad in the eye right before like he basically like put her hand into her husband's hand. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do that someday. Like that's, I can do that. So that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to, I feel like it's going to fly by like that kind of time. Right.
Right. It's just like 2.5. So like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy to think about.
the one thing that like kills me is like, the whole, you know, enjoy this time while they're young, right? When everybody always keeps telling you that. And now, my youngest is 6 and my oldest is 8. And now I'm like, man, that's kind of why I brought up that moment earlier. Like, yeah, sure, they're doing things that make you crazy now. But like, you know, you're going to look back and like, even though like it made me crazy that my youngest like sucked his thumb for a while and worked real hard to get that out of there, I still kind of miss like seeing him suck his thumb. You know what I mean? So, you know, just kind of enjoy those moments and, not being in a rush to see them grow so much. Right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that one of the big keys for what we do as parents is like, for my wife and I, we've incorporated the kids into like a lot of the adventures that we like to go on. So like, we like to camp, and you know, most families would be like, oh, I don't want to take my kid camping. We started taking our kids camping at 8 months and we had them in we tent camp. So we're not in cabins or anything. So right. It's just bundle them up and go. And ever since then we go camping on a regular basis in the summer and in the fall. And it's been a huge blessing because it's like the kids love to get out there and they love to get dirty. And I don't know, there's just so much joy in watching a little girl just get completely dirty, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that you've hit on something else there too, that Devin actually talks about this. I don't know if he talks about it in the book, but I know that he talked about it on his podcast, and he would use the word integration versus work-life balance, right? If you can find times where you can combine like your work, fun, play, spirituality, community, and, you know, family as much together, overlap as you can, like in a Venn diagram or so, as much of that as you can put together at the same space, that's integration. So I think that that's really, I think that's really key that you've tuned into that, right?
We've definitely tuned into it. I mean, like, I think the biggest example for us actually doing that was this past fall. Me and my 2 kids and a buddy of mine who we go to church with, he's a stay-at-home dad as well, and he's got 3 kids. And we all took off ahead of our wives and went down and got a camping spot down at Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky to watch the solar eclipse. And we were down there for like 3 or 4 days, just he and I and 5 kids under 5 years old, camping in primitive camping. And the rangers thought we were nuts. But it was just awesome because there's like this work-life balance of like his wife, who's an ER doctor, can finish up her shifts. My wife, who's working in the, you know, financial industry, can finish up her stuff. They can jump in a car and come down and actually spend the weekend, and we can all have a family get together. But at the same time, like us dads can go and like capture this like amazing place to like actually enjoy camping and watching this amazing one kind of like, you know, spectacle that doesn't take place very often.
That's cool. That's very cool. I love that you're getting your kids out into nature too. And like you said, letting your daughter just get dirty and grimy and hang out in the, not making them, you know, come living in the city, but getting them out to see that. I know that, in past jobs I've worked as a bartender, at a couple of places where people from the city, they duck and dive. Like if they see a bug come down at them or something, or like they see like a raccoon or even like freak out over a squirrel. Sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that that's also really important to expose your kids to just a little bit of nature.
That's the one thing about Cincinnati that's very interesting. It's not much of a concrete jungle. It's a small city. And so it's mostly covered by forest for the most part. There are tons of parks in this area. There's lots of creeks to go stomping in and
nice.
Just lots of trails to hike. And so it seems like you'd think, like, oh, Cincinnati's kind of a big city, but it just runs along this, you know, the Ohio River and the Little Miami River. And then there's just all these places to adventure. And so it's just fun to get out there. And where we live here, I've got a lot and a half. It feels like a farm area to me in some ways, because you just get out there and you just start digging around. And, you know, my son's always like coming up with like a pile of like mud and you're like, look what I found in here. And, you know, and my daughter's got a handful of it and she shoved it into her mouth and she's eating it. So
nice. Yeah.
it's one of those things where it's just like, it feels more like country than it does city. And we're nice. Literally only about 10 to 15 minutes from like the center of downtown.
Very cool. Very cool. So the other thing you're working on is your podcast. Have you come up with a title for it yet? Where are you at in that process?
So, I feel like I'm pretty well set on the title. It's the Nomad Dads podcast, and it's an acronym for Not On My Ass Dads. I feel like dads are more active than they've ever been in history. You hear that pretty frequently. And I feel like I want to make this podcast a place for all dads to be able to come in and just talk about what they're doing in their family's lives, what they're doing with their kids, and just to kind of showcase this active lifestyle that's going on. And so that's the main premise of it. And I don't know, we'll see who all like comes on and wants to be a part of it. I've definitely got quite a few guys who are like, yeah, man, that would be so much fun just to come on and just chat. And it's very non-formal. I mean, right. I have absolutely like no training in what I'm doing. It's just throwing a mic and headset on and like just hit record and go.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I love it. I love that concept. is there anything like about fatherhood that you want to kind of hit on that we didn't?
And I think that the biggest thing I would hit on is, you know, how you get like the new dad and you get people who are like wanting to give out advice or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think in my just, hey, like guys, like what advice do you have for me? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think you got to take some of that with a grain of salt. And you always got the negative Nancys that are in there that just want to like throw mud in your eye. But I think the biggest thing is like, you got to find your own niche. You got to find your own groove and you got to be okay with it. And you know, it's one of those deals where it's like, people are going to judge no matter what you do. It's like, you know, they're always like the parent 101 books and there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. But in the end, like it comes down to what you feel comfortable doing with your kids. And I think that that's the key component. Like, don't worry about how everybody else is judging you, because there's always going to be somebody who's throwing a stink eye your way. And you really just have to like brush it off and keep moving on.
All right. I don't know. That's good. Absolutely. Where can I send everybody to go find Brock
Lush? So Instagram is probably one of the bigger places. You can find me at Nomad Dad. It's really easy that way. I'm also on Twitter at that as well. Other than that, the Cincinnati Dads Group is the other place to find me. There's a public page on Facebook where you can follow along on what we're doing there. If anybody's actually listening in the Cincinnati area, there's a private page as well for conversations that you don't want to have out in public. And you just want to have a conversation with a bunch of other dads about whatever's going on in your life. So aside from that, my wife and I have a blog that's sort of on stalemate at the moment. but you can find that just at it's Sad Dad Breadwinning Mama. It's on Blogspot. So, and it's the acronym of that. So it's SAHD dad. So, I mean, there's just different ways you can, I actually Google searched my name just to see what would pop up. And most of those pop up just by putting my first and last name in a search engine. So I gotta be doing something right for be able to pop up out of that. So, I'm pretty excited about the fact that I can put that up and pops up pretty quickly.
right on. Brock, love it. Thanks for popping on today, and looking forward to see what you pump. I'm looking forward to your podcast.
I'm looking forward to it too. Hopefully here in the next week or so, it'll actually get the first episode up.
Awesome. Thanks, Brock.